Will Patriots head coach Bill Belichick be on the hot seat if the Patriots start the 2022 season 0-2? Hard to believe, but we'll be tackling this subject and more today on this pregame episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots, free and available on all platforms. So download, subscribe, follow wherever you get your audio podcasts. And of course, please smash that subscribe button to YouTube. Today's episode, folks, is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Pats fans, the New England Patriots are readying themselves for a 1 p.m. kickoff time at Acrisure Stadium. You know it a little bit better as Heinz Field, but they will be in Pittsburgh, the Steel City, to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers at 1 p.m. on Sunday, September 18th in Pittsburgh. It will definitely be the Patriots' second attempt to get into the win column in 2022. And that was not an easy task on Sunday, but unfortunately this week they now face an 0-1 deficit. But is their head coach facing a hot seat if they don't get the job done on Sunday? Well, that's just one of the questions that I brought our illustrious guest here to answer today. You know her great work from several platforms, too many for me to mention here. She does amazing work for FS1 and also the Almost Shameless podcast, which is one of the best listens anywhere in sports media. She is my good friend, Tanya Ray Fox, joins me here today. Tanya, welcome back to the pod. It's been way too long since we've done Fox on Friday.
I know, I'm so excited. Our first 2022 season, like official season podcast. It's a very big deal. I'm excited that we're getting it, you know, kicking it off week one, right when everyone's in prime overreaction mode. We have no idea what's going on. Like, now's the time to really get wild with it. So I'm excited to be on with you.
Absolutely. And wild, I think, is the operative word here for the New England Patriots, because after an 0-1 start, a 20-7 loss to the Miami Dolphins, you have a lot of the fan base that's feeling extremely squeamish right now. If the Patriots start in an 0-2 hole going back for their home opener against the Ravens next week, what does that mean for the season? 0-2 holes are very difficult for teams to come out of. The Patriots have done it before, but it's not easy to be able to mount a playoff run when you give yourself an 0-2 deficit. And, of course, the Steelers are coming off of a victory that a lot of people didn't see them getting last week. Tanya, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what it may take for the Patriots to come out on top in the Steel City on Sunday, a lot of the narrative that's going around Boston, that's going around New England, really is going around national NFL media right now, is the status of head coach Bill Belichick. And I know that sounds blasphemous here on Locked On Patriots to even think about the fact that Belichick might be on a coaching hot seat. I happen to think it's a lot of much ado about nothing myself. I don't think Belichick's job is in jeopardy, win, lose, or draw on Sunday, but there are a lot. We've even seen former NFL players like LeSean McCoy, who, by the way, has never played for Bill Belichick, but all of a sudden he becomes an expert on Belichick's coaching prowess. People are trying to fan the flames of maybe some tension between he and Robert Kraft regarding the Kendrick Bourne situation. When you look at this from an outside perspective, because you're a New Englander at heart and you're always going to be, but you're dialed in and tapped into the national market the way we're not here in New England, what's the scuttlebutt right now on Bill Belichick? And do you think there's a chance he could be on the hot seat if the Patriots don't pull this one out on Sunday against Pittsburgh?
Well, there's no chance he's on the hot seat because of Pittsburgh. That's like, my brain truly can't comprehend any world in which Robert Kraft would end Bill Belichick's tenure after week two in Pittsburgh. Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick's relationship deserves a lot more than that. And that would even if it was the worst game plan we've ever seen in our collective lifetimes, that's not happening. I'm really shocked to hear that's such a prevalent even thought running through New England, that it's that dire. They've started 0-2 before, they've started 1-3, rough Septembers, and pulled it out. And if anybody in the league knows that you have to give a team time to get themselves together, even as dire as it looks early on, it's Robert Kraft. So no, that's not happening. As far as tension between Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft is concerned, yeah, there's tension. There's definitely tension. Is it the kind of thing where, you know, where we have to be concerned that they can't make it through the season? No. But the reports about his, you know, I mean, he personally said, I want to see the guys that we're spending money on. I want to see these guys that we bring in to the schemes and into the play designs and into the overall plan on the team. So any owner who says that and then sees Kendrick Bourne sitting on the sideline for most of the game is going to be a little perturbed. Whether he has the right to be or not, that's ownership when you care about a team. And Robert Kraft cares immensely about the Patriots. He is one of the most dedicated owners to his team. He has kept his fingers out of like game operations. He's been an exemplary boss in terms of owner to coach, owner to GM relationship for the last 30 years. And so if there is an edginess to watching, like, okay, you know, we got Mac Jones, we had this great rookie season, but you know, I'm trying to see improvement here. I'm trying to see the incorporation of Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, and I'm not seeing any of it, and I'm watching Mac regress in week one compared to where we would expect him to be. Like, yeah, that's gonna cause a little more tension than when they were going to the Super Bowl every single year with Tom Brady. That is to be expected. If this is a season-long problem, if this is a team that never finds its identity down the line, then after the season, I think there will be hard conversations to be had between the two of them. But right now, no. This season, to pull things together and figure it out. Like, that is, he has earned that more than any coach who's ever coached in the history of the NFL. He's earned it, even while we're struggling right now. So, regardless, they could get beat 45-0. On Sunday, and he's not getting fired.
Yeah, so well said. Absolutely, 100% in agreement. And look, you touched on a couple of things that I just want to expound upon a little bit, because I think they're good points to make. One, if there's any coach that has built up a little bit of extra wiggle room, for lack of a better term, in terms of getting off to a hot start or doing what he needs to do, it's Bill Belichick. He is going to get the benefit of the doubt from Robert Kraft until it's physically or just mentally impossible for anyone to fathom giving Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt. And I don't see that happening for someone with his prowess. He's always going to get that from Robert Kraft. There are actually reports out that the relationship between Kraft and Belichick is as strong as it's ever been the last couple of years. So, and that seems to be continuing into this year. So even if there was a little bit of tension regarding the Kendrick Bourne situation, and I agree with you, I fully believe there was, because when you've got a guy that you've paid good money for in free agency, he's played beyond what you've paid him in his contract. Robert Kraft knows that getting him out there is going to be key to the Patriots' offensive resurgence, especially the synergy he has with Mac Jones. Played two snaps. One of them was a 41-yard, you know, reception for a big-time gain. So I expect Kendrick to play a little bit more this week, and I think you'll see him as more of a focal point. But at the same time, that's just a normal conflict between owner and coach, and you're going to have that. I mean, you have it in most of the great franchises that you can think of in recent memory. There's always been a little back and forth between the owner and the coach. Sometimes it goes a little too far, but Robert Kraft always errs on the side of caution and always knows when to cross the line and when not to. That, I believe, is the reason why this relationship has worked so well, because both sides understand the respect level and they both understand temperance. And I think that's something that will carry them forward. So I'm also in agreement with you. I think it's ridiculous to suggest that Bill Belichick could even be on the hot seat after a loss on Sunday, if that is indeed the case. But will the Patriots lose on Sunday, folks? That is the ultimate question. A lot of it is going to be determined by their second-year signal caller. Mac Jones earlier in the week had some back problems, but now dealing with a stomach illness. Will either of these issues be enough to keep him from reaching his full potential on the field on Sunday against Pittsburgh? Tanya Ray Fox and I will discuss that point and more when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, wanted to talk to you guys a little bit today about Turo, the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the United States, Canada, and the UK. You can book a spacious SUV or a minivan for that family road trip you've been wanting to take, or you can get a classic or a luxury car for a special event, a birthday, or a holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and you just need to get from A to B. Turo can do it all. You can even test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to your door. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions do apply, but find your drive at Turo.com. Patriots fans, the incomparable Tanya Ray Fox of FS1 and the Almost Shameless podcast joins me here today doing a little Fox on Friday, getting you ready for the Pats and Steelers in week two of the 2022 NFL season. And Tanya, you know as well as I that coaching is always a hot button issue, but probably the majority of the eyes of the fan base, whether it be local or national, are always going to be on the man under center. And this week, Mac Jones is going to be under the microscope for three reasons. One, Mac had a little bit of a shaky performance on Sunday, if we're being honest. It was not his best. There were times where he had difficulty picking up those defensive back blitzes, didn't seem to be completing with the authority that we know that he's capable of completing, looked a little bit out of sorts and a little uncomfortable in the Patriots offense. The second is back spasms early on in the week. There was some question whether or not there was an injury. Mac underwent x-rays. He also underwent a battery of tests. Everything came back negative. Looks like he's good to go in that department. But then he was held out of practice on Thursday for what was described as a stomach illness. Any one of these issues would give you a little pause to wonder whether or not your quarterback is going to be at 100% heading into this matchup. And normally, you'd look and you'd say, okay, well, they're going to do the best they can with what they have. But Pittsburgh is a very stout defense. But they're missing a huge piece, too, in T.J. Watt and one of the best pass rushers in the league. So, Tanya, when you look at this from a worldly perspective, for lack of a better term, the New England Patriots are probably facing a game that they would really like to win. I'm not calling it a must-win this early in the season, but it's close to that because you don't want to go back home down 0-2. But at the same time, if your quarterback is a little bit banged up and maybe a little less than 100%, it makes it all that much more difficult. When you look at Mac this week, what are you expecting out of him? What should fans expect out of him as he looks to take the field, hopefully, on Sunday in Pittsburgh?
Well, there's some good news and some bad news on the Mac Jones, you know, front when it comes to a Steelers matchup, right? Which is I'll just start with the bad news. The bad news is that what the Steelers defense last week had had much less to do with TJ Watt than people would want to believe. They were very good across the board. Their pass rush is good even without TJ Watt. Now, does he make a massive difference? Of course. Are they much better off without TJ Watt on the field? Absolutely. No question about it. But once again, they're going up against a defense that has Brian Flores on the other sideline, who knows very, very well how to scheme against Belichick, really beat him up when he was the head coach of the Dolphins. That is just concerning as per usual. Obviously with Mac, it's a different story, but their concepts aren't anything massively different than what they've done, you know, for a long time. So defensively, regardless of anything else that's going on, right? The good news is that Mac is, his counterpart is Mitch Trubisky on the other side of the ball, and their offense is not great either. And If you told me I had to pick between the two of them, I'm taking Mac 10 out of 10 times. So even with any potential illnesses or whatever, Mac is a better, more reliable guy under center than the Steelers have on the other side of the ball. Now, regardless of what's going on with his back or sickness, like, it's clear he's a little beat up, and like, taking that kind of loss once again to Miami, once again, mental hurdle to overcome. He has to be able to overcome it and go down to Heinz Field, where the Patriots have always dominated. I know it's not called that anymore, but I will never call it AccraSure, whatever. Heinz Field, and dominate it. You know, like, this is a place where the Patriots historically play really well against all odds and with real no explanation. But the protection has to be there. And this is a pass rush that gave Joe Burrow absolute fits. I mean, he looked all over the place. He was not himself. So if he can do that to Joe Burrow, he can do that to Mac, who actually isn't much more similar to Joe Burrow than people realize. Like, you know, neither of them have the craziest great wide receivers that I think we would love to watch Mac play with. But there's similar problems. He's had similar protection problems. I said in a podcast preseason that this offensive line and the way that they have it structured and the way it's like they've moved pieces around from last season, guys who weren't starting, who are now starting at different positions. I don't know that I've seen the offensive line this in disarray the 20 years that I've been watching, like, Bill Belichick on the Patriots, 20 plus years. I've never seen it this sort of like mixed up. And maybe there was one or two years in there where Brady made up for a lackluster offensive line, but it just, they've got to get it figured out. And
agreed.
I just, the times where Mac had no idea that he wasn't covered and he took those sacks. And it's just like, that's the communication stuff that freaks me out. So in order for Mac to, like, let's say he isn't feeling 100%. Let's say he's feeling 85% coming into this game. That's not great, right? We don't want to get him leveling off anywhere toward Mitch Trubisky's performance level. We want him to stay ahead of where Mitch is at, because this is going to be a battle of, like, who can score, like, the first 7 points. I really feel like this game is going to be, like, who scores the first 7 to 10 points, because they're going to probably win the game. So Mac, what he has that Mitch doesn't is he is a very good game manager. So whether they have to run the ball more, whether they have to start executing those intermediate passes in downfield and getting one or two balls downfield to open things up, whatever it is, I believe Mac is capable of managing that game to the point where they can pull out a win. It's just, you know, getting him the protection and game planning around wherever he is at physically. That's obviously a concern considering what we've seen from the offensive coordinating. But Mac is a true and, you know, tried and true game manager at the end of the day. That is not an insult. It is a compliment. And the good thing about a game manager is when they don't feel well or they're hurt, they can still win you a game.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly how Mac Jones needs to approach this, because if he is going to be somewhat compromised, and we don't know the extent to which his back is still hurting him, he can still feel pain with an injury and have all tests and x-rays come back clear. It just means that maybe there's a strain, soft tissue, things of that nature that need to do their share of healing. So maybe he might be a little compromised, or maybe he is coming in feeling pretty good from his back. We all have been in a situation where we've had stomach issues and tried to power through it, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I understand athletes are supposed to do it because of the nature of their job and the nature of what they do, but it can hinder you a little bit. So all definitely valid concerns. I'm glad you mentioned Watt, because a lot of what I've been seeing, and mea culpa on this as well, sometimes you buy into it that you look at what TJ Watt did to make Joe Burrow uncomfortable last Sunday, and you say, wow, okay, you know, Patriots really dodged a bullet here. They don't have to deal with that. But they still have guys, meaning Pittsburgh, have guys like Alex Highsmith and Malik Reed, who aren't necessarily TJ Watt, but they're very competent defenders and guys that can really make things difficult in the passing game and even in the run game. So Pittsburgh still has a great deal of firepower on the defensive side of the ball. Another thing that worries me is the fact that without Watt, they may look to bring extra safeties up. And Brian Flores liked to do that here in New England, and I can definitely see them doing that in Pittsburgh. because you've got a couple of good guys that can draw beads on the football. Minka Fitzpatrick for one, Terrell Edmonds on the other, that can come up and play the hybrid roles and even play up toward the linebacker position. So if that's the case, you're looking at strategically placed blitzes from the second and third level of the defense. And I sound like a broken record here, folks, but it's always going to be a concern of mine until the Patriots and Mac Jones show that they can defend adequately against it. He needs the protection on both sides, on the ends of that offensive line, which means big games from Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn. Believe it or not, Wynn actually had a pretty decent game last week. Trent Brown, not so much. He says he's back on track to get the ship righted as well. So if the Patriots can get the protection from the O-line, it's so important this week because of Mac Jones's health or maybe lack thereof. They need to step it up, and that's something that I think could be the key to the game this weekend.
Yeah, there's something about, I really need to see them use the tight ends and the running backs more effectively against the Steelers. Like, you're going to play this defensively, pretty elite team. Even without T.J. Watt, they're really structured. This is their defensive dynasty. The Steelers are always good on that side of the ball. So, like, I don't care. I know we're talking about Kendrick Bourne and getting him more involved. And I think every single time you're using all of your personnel, you're able to, broaden the opportunities that you have to make plays. There's only this team is a team. Mac requires three downs to get 10 yards very often. Like, you're going through those play calls really quickly. There's only so many first down calls, second down calls, third down calls on a play sheet, and then you're going through them over and over and over again because it's taking you three downs every single possession to try to move. You're moving the ball 10 minutes, taking you 3-4 tries. And so they need to, knowing that that's where they're at this point, especially against another really good defense. I mean, this is a better defense than they faced last week. Like, this is now your opportunity to, whatever it is, I'm not going to tell them how to call the, I'm not an offensive coordinator. You've got two tight ends who can make plays. Hunter Henry is a great pass catcher. You've got Nelson Agholor, who's proved many more times than people realize that he just send him down. Just send him. Just send him. And and they're not. Jacoby Myers is the most reliable guy on the offense in terms of pass catching. They got him out there. Kendrick Bourne, we know he has a great relationship with him. We saw it last year. And then the running backs, who really never got a chance to get anything going last week on a regular. It looked like Damian Harris was going to have a good game. Like, he was going to get a little bit of a rhythm, and they went away from it. So if you're going to take three downs every single time to get those 10 yards and convert, you have to start diversifying what you're doing out there, because the Steelers defense will catch on to what you're doing within a half of a quarter. And so that's really all I need to see. The Patriots defense really impressed me last week despite the loss. Obviously, there was that one broken play at the end of the half, and everything else looked pretty good, all things considered. Tua was not great, but he's better than Mitch. I truly think that the Patriots defense can hang. It's just about seeing some sort of progression from the offensive play calling and the headset on the other, on Matt Patricia, and what they're able to I guess what I really want to see is, like, hey, we have all these players on our offense and we're going to use them. I know it sounds so, and it's not great analysis, but that's all they need to do to give me some sense, even if they lose the game, to give me some sense that they are trending in a direction of an offense that can look a little bit more complex and a little bit more diverse.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. And I agree with you on the 12-man personnel and utilizing the tight ends. Claire and I talked about that earlier this week in terms of utilizing these guys on the field. 15% of the time they shared the field last, meaning Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, are out there 44% of the time this week. So maybe that is a springboard for them to be able to utilize them. But a lot of it was in blocking schemes, folks. So we need to see a little more of these guys involved in the offense as well. And I think the return of Kendrick Bourne into this lineup will help that. I agree with you. Aguilar is someone that they can use as a deep threat. So utilize him. And I think you're going to start to see Devontae Parker get involved in this as well. It kind of takes some of the pressure off of Jacoby Myers, who is still good or reliable there. And whenever you need a big catch, he always seems to be around. So hopefully good things on the horizon for the New England Patriots. But is it enough to carry them to victory? Well, we've arrived at that time, folks. Tanya and I will give our game predictions in just a moment here when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast wraps up. But first, folks, maximize your sports fandom with BetOnline.net, your number one source for all of your pro college football betting needs and sports information this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts on BetOnline, your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. They are the fastest and the easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Pats fans, as the late, great Gorilla Monsoon once said, the time for the talk is just about over, and we have arrived at prediction time here on Locked On Patriots heading into Week 2. The incomparable Tanya Rae Fox has graced us with her presence today. Always great work and always an enjoyable listen and read wherever she does work for FS1 and the Almost Shameless podcast. Tanya, we've talked about Bill Belichick. We've talked about Mac Jones. A lot of the hard-hitting issues. Bottom line, the Patriots want to escape with a win from Pittsburgh. There's no question about it. They'd like to do it in convincing fashion, but I think at this point, they'll take pretty much any W they can get. The bottom line is, can they do it? Your game prediction this weekend, do the Patriots right the ship, or is this one going to be tougher than Pats fans are anticipating?
I don't know what Pats fans are anticipating. I think every win is going to be tough until they sort of develop a rhythm on who they are, if they ever do. But I will say, you know, there's two competing things going on in my brain. One is, what have the Patriots done to prove to me that they can win an NFL game? Like, just in general. Okay, defensively, they have proven themselves over the years. And then again last week, you know, I don't think that the mistake that they made at the end of the second half after Adrian Phillips got hurt and went off the field is like something that we have to worry about in terms of like long-term issues, right? So that's what on the defensive side of the ball, I believe in them. Offensively, they still have a lot to prove. However, the Steelers are not a 2-0 team. Like, I can't, they're no more a 2-0 team than the Patriots are. You know, when I do these predictions, because predictions are, you know, no offense to you, me, or anyone else who does these on our show, only so helpful, right? We are just not future seers. So when I do a prediction, I say, all right, are the Patriots an 0-2 team, and or are the Steelers a 2-0 team? Do I think the Patriots could be 0-2? Easily. Absolutely. That's not a crazy thing to think. Do I think the Steelers are a 2-0 team, especially, you know, like after seeing sort of how messy and ridiculous that game was last week and considering how limited Mitch Trubisky really looked? Right. I don't think they're 2-0. So, okay, now could they both be 1-1 teams? Okay, that's all right. That's starting to feel a little bit more in the lane of where we want to be. So based on the fact that they're pretty evenly matched in terms of the defense being able to handle the opposing quarterback, yeah, like I think the Patriots can eke out a win. I think it's not going to be a pretty game. I think you're going to see the Patriots and the Steelers struggling through trying to figure out how to make some limitations work for their quarterbacks. But if I'm going to break it down to the most basic level, I think these are two, you know, sort of teams that are going to be fighting to stay above 500. And so let's kick it off now in week two. You know, it's their second week on the road. Well, obviously, you know, there are things working against them. But at the end of the day, you get, every once in a while, you get lucky and you play a team that has a worse quarterback And that is something you have to take advantage of. You have to take advantage of it. You know, obviously Tua, to me, in my mind, is also a worse quarterback than Mac, but that's the Dolphins. That's interdivisional, and it's a different story. When you're I've harped on it 1,000 times. Intradivisional games are a different story, especially when it comes to the Dolphins. It was that way with Tom Brady. It's going to be that way until the world burns out. Like, that's it'll be like that for the Patriots. I don't know why. But, you know, they're getting lucky with this matchup. So I'm just going to go ahead and say 17-14. We'll see what happens.
I think from your lips to God's ears, when it comes to the New England Patriots fandom right now, they're definitely hoping that is the case. And look, I kind of tipped my hand earlier this week when I spoke with my good friend Christopher Carter, the host of Locked On Steelers here on the crossover on Thursday. I am once again going with the Patriots as well. I picked against them last week, and I think if I pick against them 2 weeks in a row, the fan base is definitely going to be out with the pitchforks for me. But I truly believe they will right the ship for the reasons that you stated. It's going to be, I think, a grind out type game that the Patriots are going to claw their way to try to get points. I made my prediction thinking that Mac would be fully healthy. I still stand by it. I picked a final score of 24-17, but it wouldn't shock me to see it a little bit closer than that. But I still think the Patriots have enough to get the job done on Sunday. So hopefully we'll be regrouping the next time we talk here, Tanya, on Locked On Patriots, and we'll be talking about how we were right in this prediction, and maybe we'll have another one in store for our listeners. But in the meantime, I want to thank you very, very much for joining me here today on this weekend episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast and for providing your great wisdom and counsel as you always do. Before I let you go, my friend, please let everyone know where they can find you, your great work, what you have coming up on the horizon.
Always at Tanya Ray Fox on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all the places where the Almost Shameless podcast comes out weekly. You can find that wherever you find podcasts and on the Patriots Press Pass channel on CLNS. So that is, you know, if you guys are CLNS people, you probably already see it up there. It's always nice to take it in on YouTube if that's your preference, so go for it. But it's anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's, you know, it's very easy to find, Almost Shameless. And yeah, that's going to be what I'm working on right now. And obviously there's always, you know, I'm always on Twitter, always arguing with people over there, doing my debates. I'm constantly doing podcast appearances on other podcasts. So I have a few of those coming up. If you're interested in hearing more, that's where you can find it. I'm very good at making sure people know where I'm going to be at by sharing that on Twitter and Instagram. So pay attention.
Absolutely, folks. Follow Tanya on Twitter, on Instagram. You can see her Twitter handle right below her name on the broadcast. For those of you listening, it's at Tanya Ray Fox. Very easy. Whenever she puts voice to microphone, whenever she puts pen to paper, it's always appointment reading, appointment listening, appointment viewing, and you always come out a little bit more knowledgeable than you went in, you know, than you had going in. And I think that's really a testament to her character and exactly what she brings to the table each and every time out. My friend, it's my honor, it's my pleasure to welcome you here to Locked On. We're definitely going to have you back on. Folks, it is my honor to come to you each and every day and for you to make me a part of your New England Patriots coverage on a daily basis. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for that. And please, if you have not done so, please subscribe to Locked On Patriots on YouTube. Smash that subscribe button and download, follow, and really just consume wherever you get your podcasts, the Locked On Patriots podcast. On behalf of my good friend, the incomparable Tanya Ray Fox, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world, everyone. Have a great day and a great weekend, and enjoy Pat Steelers on Sunday.